Georgia.
We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We want to thank you for tuning in today. We want to invite you out to our Night of Honor prayer meeting, which is tomorrow night, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Yes, there are still all-night prayer meetings. You say, why would you have to pray all night? You know, Exodus chapter 12, verse number 42, became a passage of scripture that was very real to me several years ago, and was never a huge fan of all-night prayer meetings until God put in, I saw in Exodus chapter 12 that God said, from this generation on, I would like you to remember this night. Take this night and honor me for the death angel passing over you. And something was birthed in my spirit then and said, wow, if they were to do that just because their physical life was spared, how much greater honor is Jesus worthy of for the price that he paid for my salvation? He went to the cross and gave his life so that I could live with him for eternity. And so that is what is taking place. The night before Jesus went to the cross, they kept him awake all night long. And I think that they may have been doing that as a form of abuse, but I can tell you that Jesus was honoring the task that God was getting ready to have him go through. So if you'd like to join us Friday night, 10 p.m. till Saturday morning at 6 a.m., we're at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We've got plenty of room available. I've not had a prayer meeting yet where I did not have room for more people. So that is Friday night. We would like to invite you out to Resurrection Sunday services coming up Sunday morning. Sunday school's at 9:30. Worship services at 10:30. We have a kids presentation where they're going to be presented with the gospel story, the resurrection story, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They will have all sorts of goodies. There's free lunch that is available. We would love to have you come out and join us. And I will be preaching a special Resurrection Sunday service message as well. So come be a part of what God is doing. If you don't have a church home, you need one. You need one. You need somebody who is there to stand with you when you are going through adversity. You need someone who will speak the words of life into you. And you need someone who will help to equip you to find your place of service in the body of Christ. And so if you don't have a church home, we would love to invite you out to Merit Assembly of God this coming Sunday morning. I want to take you to Luke, the 22nd chapter today. Luke, the 22nd chapter. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And it says, now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you enter the city, a man will meet you carrying the pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There, make ready." So they went and found it just as they had, as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly, the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be the greatest. We're going to stop the reading there for the time being. The Last Supper, as it is called, is actually Jesus fulfilling and celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. It was something that that he was very intentional about. And we want to look, and I want to show you, it says in verse number 1, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people." I wonder right now if our society as a whole has any comprehension of the attitude of the masses towards Jesus. I want to ask you, what is your response to Jesus? Do you revere him? Because if we revere him, it should be an attitude that prompts us to act in certain manners and not in other manners. God is concerned about behavior. Now, in all honesty, the religious leadership of that day, they were very threatened by Jesus because of the position. They had a certain position, and they were afraid that if Jesus manifest himself as the Messiah, the Son of God, if they did not act, they were going to lose their position. They thought that the Romans would come and take their position from them. Some people are more concerned about their position than they are about the presence of God. And I don't believe that's the way that it should be, but I do believe that it is not only the historical representation of the religious leadership of that day, but I also believe that it is an adequate representation of what our current society has in its attitude towards Jesus. Right now, I believe that people look at it as a time for family get-togethers, for celebrations, but I do not believe that they have any comprehension of the seriousness and the reality of action that Jesus took upon that day. I believe that people have made decisions of convenience rather than conviction. And so the chief priests were actually looking for ways to rid Jesus. Now, I must tell you one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They were looking to kill him because they feared him, but they did not realize that God was going to take that act of hostility and turn it around and utterly decimate the kingdom of darkness. It says they had no idea what God had in mind. If they did, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I pray that if you are going through a situation and a circumstance right now where you don't know what is going on, but people are lashing out at you, or you're being attacked in your physical health, whatever it might be, that God intends to get glory out of that situation. Jesus kept his mouth quiet when he was being accused. Okay. When you are under attack, if there's one thing that I learned from the book of Job, is when you are under attack, it is best not to voice out of your complaint and out of the bitterness of your soul. It's wise to keep your mouth shut. Jesus went through all of the accusations, and he did it without saying a word, to the point that they marveled that he kept his silence. Okay? And so the leadership was looking for an opportunity to kill Jesus, and they found a person by the name of Judas, one of his disciples, one of his apostles, who was more interested in money than he was in Jesus. Now, let me say this. I'm going to cut to the chase, because after they have arrested him, after he has committed them into their hands and the process is well underway, Judas realizes that money is it's not worth it. And he goes and he throws it back to the Pharisees and he says, I don't want it. And they take the money and they buy the potter's field with it, where people would be buried who had no other place to be buried. And at that point in time, Judas felt like the situation was hopeless. Please hear me today. Your life is not hopeless. Your life is very valuable. The reason Jesus went to the cross was for you to have life. And, you know, you might not have any idea how you're going to get out of the situation. You may not have any idea how you're going to come through the circumstance, but I am here to testify to you today that God is your deliverer. He is your redeemer. He is your savior. Please recognize, however, the priority that Jesus is worth more than money. Jesus is worth more than power. Jesus is worth more than position. Jesus is worth more than a job. Jesus is worth more than a relationship with a human being. Jesus is worth more than a sexual tryst. Jesus is worth more than an experience. Jesus is worth everything. He is of highest value. Do not trade him for 30 pieces of silver. Don't trade him for a one-night stand. Don't trade him for a job. Don't trade him for authority. Don't trade him for popularity or for fame or for a car. Don't minimize how valuable Jesus is. Going on, and it says when the day of unleavened bread had come and the Passover was to be killed, that he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. And just as we talked about on yesterday's broadcast, there is an act of preparation that needs to take place. Jesus sent the disciples into towns where he was preparing to go. he sent the disciples to get the colt that he would ride in on. And now he sends the disciples and he says, go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat. Prepare the way for the Lord. John the Baptist was one who prepared the way. And so what a great honor to be on the prep team for Jesus. You and I, as we go throughout Brevard County, we are his prep team. We are a reflection of his light. We bring his light into people's darkness. We live in a holy and righteous life, as you know, the beauty of his holiness, so that people will see the goodness of God. We love one another because Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. We prepare this community by loving one another. And so we have that privilege. And so they ask the question, where do you want us to prepare? Where do you want us to prepare? I believe that it would do us a great deal of service if we asked God some questions. Not the questions that a lot of people ask, why did this happen to me? God, why are you mad at me? Why are you doing this to me? And questions like that. Now, God's a great big God. He can handle those questions. But I believe that our questions are better served of, okay, God, where do you want us to prepare? You've given us an instruction. Where do you want us to go in order to fulfill this? What timing do you have for us? What is the time frame? What is the process? Not asking questions in doubt the way that Zacharias did at the birth of Jesus, but instead asking questions that would say, okay, God, whatever you say we will do, we want to do it in full compliance. We want to do it with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want to do it in the right timing, and begin to ask questions that will equip us to do exactly what God has asked us to do in the time that he wants it done, so that it will be to his glory. So they said, where do you want us to prepare? And he said, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready. Isn't it great that God already knows everything you are going to encounter? He can give you the sign as to which house it's going to be. That house will lead you to the person who will be able to point you to the room. And there is where you and I will be able to accomplish things. If you would have asked me in the 70s if I would ever pastor in Florida, I would have told you no. In fact, when I was first asked to come to Florida, I thought they were sending me to Australia. I'd never heard of Melbourne, Florida. And so I was like, wow, okay. And if you asked me when I got here, if I would have been pastoring a church that I didn't even know existed for the 3 years that I had lived here, I would have told you no. But what I do believe is that God prepares the way. He knows in advance what is coming your way and coming into your life. And I just encourage you. You know, my daughter and I were having a discussion one time, and she was describing how she had a conversation with somebody, and she asked them this question. Have you prayed about it? Have you asked God where he would lead you in this? Have you asked God? You know, I asked God who I was supposed to marry. I asked God if I was supposed to take a promotion or if I wasn't. I've asked God, you know, to show us where the house was that he wanted us to live in. And so we have tried to train our children to not be going by their feelings, not by going by their emotions, but to ask God. My daughter prayed about what the car she was supposed to have. We have trained our son to pray about his job, and so her comment was, God, Dad, I realized that we aren't normal. We aren't normal because we like to pray first about everything. And I want to encourage you today, ask God the questions. He knows what your future holds. And if that future is meant to prepare a place of communion with Him, how desperately important is it? Listen, I believe rather than coming to a church for convenience or whatever program they have, I believe that Christianity would be best served by people praying and saying, God, which church do you have me to go, to have me to attend? I'll be honest with you. My children, we knew that we were at Merit Assembly of God because God had called us there. But it was not because it was the easiest place. We did not have all of the youth ministry or things like that. And you know what? I would still rather have my kids in the center of the will of God than I would have had raised them up in a church that met all their social needs but missed out on being in exactly the place that God would have had them. So you can take that for what it's worth. I believe that we need to be asking God more questions. Jesus addresses the disciples and he says, I have looked forward to eating this Passover with you, celebrating what God did hundreds of years earlier. I have looked forward to celebrating this Passover with you before I suffer. And I want you to know that the same is true today, that whenever you come and celebrate this resurrection season, in fact, today, I encourage you, find some time, have your own communion service, maybe just with you and your family, maybe with someone at church. Celebrate the Passover because Jesus desires to commune with us. Having fellowship with us is what drove him to the cross. He wants to have fellowship with you. So I'm just going to take the rest of the broadcast and remind you here just about what is taking place at communion. He says, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus was coming to fulfill the Passover pattern. He was going to come and fulfill the law and the prophets with his death on the cross. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And always remember to give thanks. Today, no matter what you are going through, it does not have eternal ramifications if you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. Give thanks today. When you celebrate the Passover, when you celebrate communion, make sure that you give thanks for the cup and for the bread. In verse number 19, it says, he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. So it's interesting there. He took the cup and gave thanks and distributed it. Then he takes bread and he gave thanks and he says, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Always remember that Jesus took the stripes upon his body for your healing. Today, as you are preparing for Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, I pray that faith would arise in your heart for healing in your body. Whether it's joints, whether it's muscles, whatever it might be, from the soles of your feet to the top of your head, Jesus is your healer. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Verse number 20, he takes the cup after supper and saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. You know, one of the interesting things that a lot of times people, whenever they're hearing a word of correction or whatever, they're looking around to see if there's anybody else who that word might be for, because it couldn't be for us. But I want you to know that Jesus said that that cup that represented his blood, it was shed for you. It was shed for me as well. But I don't have to point fingers to wonder who it was for. I know it was for me. But you should also remember it was for you. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. One last thing I will say today about communion. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, do this as often as you will, for in doing so, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And I want to remind you again that that as we are celebrating and remembering the acts that Jesus took in this Passion Week, that it is also an indicator. It points us to the reality of the promise that he is coming again. He is coming again. We believe in the actual reality that Jesus Christ is coming back for his bride. That gives us our hope and our peace. And so we pray that today during this Passion Week, you will remember that he did it all for you. Father, we just want to thank you and praise you right now. We give you glory. God, I want to thank you that you know all things and you do all things well. And I pray, God, that our culture would not be looking to kill you or to isolate you, but Lord, we instead would have a desire to bring you center stage. God, I pray that our priorities would not be jobs, money, relationships, or any other thing, but God, our job would be, our priority would be knowing you in to the best of our ability. God, I pray that as we celebrate your victory over the cross, God, that we would be proclaiming your death till you come. God, visit your people this Passion Week. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.